Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk a little Royals baseball, though. They wrap up their homestand and wrap up the home slate at Kauffman Stadium this weekend as the Toronto Blue Jays are in town. To talk about the future a little bit, let's welcome in Jake Eisenberg, who joins us. Hopefully we don't have any connection issues today.
Like that was on us
that
anyway.
That was definitely us. That was definitely us. Eisenberg, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Yeah, obviously, you know, the last time that we were able to have like a full-on conversation, things were a little different, and you know, last week we got interrupted a little bit and it was sort of looking grim but still possible, and now the conversation certainly has changed a little bit, which is unfortunate. But yeah, great to be with you guys as always.
I guess the way I kind of view it is very similar. Like I'm annoyed in the sense that they did not live up to the expectations the team had and should have realistically had, but I also know between the injuries and all the other stuff, Jake, I don't know. I don't know that I expected way more than around a 500 season based on the number of injuries they have. And I'm trying to take the positives going into next year at this point. And it probably starts with guys like Steven Kolek, where at this point between Burgert and Kolek and Cole Reagans or whoever, they seemingly have 7 to 9 options in the starting rotation, which means they also have pitching options that could end up helping them get the bat I think they'll need for next year.
Yeah, I mean, let's start here. This is a team that should have pretty high expectations for itself come 2026. The expectations that they had for 2025, which was winning the division and at least making the playoffs, those should still be the expectations for 2026 because it's largely not just the same cast of characters, but also an even deeper pitching staff, like you mentioned. I mean, just off the top, we're assuming everybody's healthy. We're talking about Cole Reagan, Seth Lugo, Michael Wacha, Chris Bubich, Noah Cameron, Steven Kolek, Ryan Burgert, you know, hopefully Alec Marsh is healthy, and then so on and so forth. We'll see what kind of other depth exists down the stretch. That's just the pitchers that are under contract for next year. So that's a great starting point when it comes to starting pitcher health. And then on the offensive side, and this is where this season becomes a little bit perplexing at times, because look, I think it's pretty easy to point to one of the more consistent weak spots of the team this year was the offense as a collective. But from an individual perspective, well, you still got an all-star level season from Bobby Witt Jr. Was it generational like last year? No, but still one of the best offensive performers in all of baseball. Then you have Michael Garcia breaking out in an all-star capacity. Vinny Pasquantino goes 30-100 for the first time in his career. Salvador Perez has a career high in home runs outside of his 48 home run season. He's never had another 30 home run season. He's one shy of doing that. He could get to 100 RBIs for his second consecutive year. So from an individual perspective, those four guys have had some really robust offensive seasons, and that's why the question mark is, okay, so where's the disconnect? And I think one of the frustrating parts about this year is that you've seen really good starting pitching. You've seen spurts where the offense has been really good. It just doesn't seem like those two things have happened consistently at the same time, right?
Yeah, when you look at like some of the individual players, that'll be where we get into 2026. Like, can Michael Garcia repeat it, right? Can Salvi stay that way? And I guess to Salvi's point, do we all just assume that picking up his option's a guarantee? I mean, I would like them to. So I'm from your
I'm
perspective.
Stop you right there. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
I just wanted to make sure. Perez will be a Royal in 2026.
Okay, good. Look, I wanted to ask just to be sure, you know, because Carter Jensen's actually been pretty good to start his major league career.
It's not. Let me be clear. It's not like I have like specific inside information there, but I mean, like I'll eat the shoelace on my left foot if he's not a Royal.
Like, all right, we'll mark the tape.
Be careful with that. I once said that, and then I had to eat part of a hat. Now, that was in fairness. That was when I thought Alcides Escobar wouldn't be a Royal anymore, and that was a mistake. I should have known that they loved him in this organization and that he would be a lifetime Royal. What do you make of Carter Jensen's start, Jake?
What I'm saying here is that, like, the sky is blue and Salvador Perez will be wearing blue. Like, these are two, you know, things. As far as Carter Jensen, to get your question, I've been really, really impressed, especially with the approach to the plate. I think he has one more strikeout than he does walk, and the walks that he's drawn have been, like, 6 or 7 or 8 pitch walks. I think it was a couple of nights ago. He had back-to-back 8 pitch walks. Obviously, he showed off the power to foul pole to foul pole. I mean, he's got the chance to be an impact bat, as we've already seen. And the fact that he's getting his feet wet now in games that are meaningful, I mean, this counts for something. This counts for experience. And that is a huge step forward, I think, for Carter Jensen, who I think we should remember is still 22 years old, same as Jack Caglione. And so when it comes to Carter Jensen, and, you know, we've only seen a little bit from him behind the plate, but Matt Quatrero said the other day that he was impressed with how he's handled himself behind the plate and certainly gaining experience talking to Salvador Perez and Luke Maley, who have both been there and done that at a really high level defensively for a long time. That only helps. I think that it's important to level set here that, you know, these are two 22-year-olds, one of whom, you know, was drafted literally last year, and one of whom is a 22-year-old catcher that was drafted out of high school. Like, the fact that they're getting meaningful at-bats and producing the way that they are since they both came up in September, I think that's an important junction to look at specifically for Jack Caglione. I think that's really impressive, and I think that's a really good sign for next year.
We're talking to Jake Eisenberg here on 96.5 The Fan. You mentioned Jensen there and Cags. Looking ahead to next season, though, if this offense is to get going and bounce back, are those two players that just have to be a huge part of it?
I don't know if they have to be a huge part of it, but I do think they have to be a part of it. You know, I think that the huge part is going to come from the guys we've already talked about. It's Bobby, Vinny, Salvi, and Michael. I mean, that is the core of your offense, and that is, I think, what the expectation of the core of your offense should be. But if Jack Caglione and Carter Jensen can be complementary pieces that can give you some pop and drive in some runs and lengthen that lineup, I think that's a big deal. I think one of the things that's been interesting about this year, you know, I was looking at this yesterday because until yesterday, which obviously the Royals got shut out, you know, the Royals had scored 5 or more runs in 4 consecutive games. That was the first time that it happened all season. The Royals have actually scored at least 5 runs in a game, the 3rd fewest times in baseball. And the Royals have done really, really well in those games, which is to be expected because the pitching's been good. But the Royals have also played the 2nd most games decided by 3 runs or fewer this year. And they've been really, really good in those close games. But when you have those close games, your margin for error is so much thinner. You know, there are 2 numbers that I think you can point to that tell you, you know, how tenuous, you know, a season can be and how one batted ball this way or one bounce that way can really make a difference. It's the fact that the Royals have 76 wins and Carlos Estevez has 40 saves. That's more than 50% of the team's wins. That's really impressive for Carlos Estevez, but it also tells you how many close games the Royals have been in. And then just the other day, Lucas Erceg got the win, and reliever wins and losses are not something that I think are all that important. But when you see a pitcher like Lucas Erceg have 8 wins on a season, that tells you that he's been in a lot of really close games where the Royals have been within a run in one direction or another when he's entered a game and have found a way to come back and win 8 times. You know, I think that says a lot about, A, how good the back end of the bullpen has been. The bullpen's been great, but also how many close games there have been. And when there are that many close games, your margin for error is that much thinner.
Knowing that some of the teams that we have hoped the Royals would model their success after have been willing to let go of pitchers in an effort in like a constant rotation, right? We always kind of point to the Rays and the way they like might trade away Chris Archer. Do you anticipate maybe a busy offseason for the Royals, at least in the conversation sector, knowing that they're going to try to add maybe another outfielder or that the bullpen is also deep? Because you mentioned Estevez and Erceg, like they're deep in multiple areas. Do you expect them to be willing to like shuffle things around?
Yeah, I mean, I think they'd absolutely be willing. I think what J.J. Piccolo and his front office have shown is that they're always willing to have conversations that are going to help the team get better. We certainly saw that at the trade deadline. It was not easy trading away Freddie Fermin, but getting back Ryan Burger and Stephen Kolek, those are 2 great controllable starting pitchers who have both gotten off to fantastic starts with the Royals. And like we were talking about when we got started, the amount of starting pitching depth that the Royals have, obviously they needed every single one of those arms and then some this year. That was certainly something that was not predicted, especially after all the help the Royals had in the rotation last year. But when you do have that kind of starting pitching depth, and that is an area of weakness for a lot of other teams, and you're trying to supplement your offense in some ways, yeah, if you look at the most obvious quote-unquote trade chips that the Royals have outside of, you know, maybe minor league prospects here or there, yeah, you'd figure that starting pitchers might come up in that conversation more than other players.
Jake Eisenberg, of course, you'll hear him this weekend on 96.5 The Fan, the final week or so of the baseball season. We appreciate you coming on throughout the year, man.
Yeah, it's been great. I think we got one more shot with you guys. So you're not done with me quite yet.
We'll stick in one more week with you. You know what? Talk some hopefully road trip baseball and a nice finish to the season.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to, you know, walking around Sacramento, you know, chopping it up with you guys.
Sacramento. I'm sorry you have to go there.
We'll do some searching for Sacramento coffee shops for you ahead of time. Thank you.
Oh, please. Yeah, send Rex my way.
There you go. That's Jake Eisenberg.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.